Now, what was the eligibility for the patients to be entered into these studies?
Well, in the U.S. studies, almost all of the women had node-positive breast cancer. In the NSABP study, only women with node-positive breast cancer were included. Apart from that, the eligibility were much what one would expect. Women could have a tumor of any size. They needed to have completed their surgical therapy. They needed to have adequate organ function, and in particular, they needed to start off with a normal ejection fraction as assessed by either a MUGA or an echo. In the intergroup study, after the study had been enrolling patients for some time, an amendment was submitted to allow patients with so-called high-risk node-negative disease to participate. In fact, over 80% of the women in the study had node-positive disease, and if we take the whole combined analysis, fewer than 10% of the patients had node-negative breast cancer.
Now, in the HERA study, there were a lot more node-negative patients.
In the HERA study, there was, in fact, a more sizable proportion of patients who had node-negative disease. It's roughly a third. And so we do have more information about node-negative breast cancer. I think it's important to point out that based on all of the studies, there's little reason to believe that trastuzumab would not work as well in node-negative as in node-positive disease. Pretty consistently across all of these studies and across all subgroups, there's about a halving of the risk of recurrence. In practice, though, what has to be kept in mind is that the size of the tumor and the extent of the lymph node involvement still does affect a woman's risk of having a recurrence. So when we're dealing with a woman with a small node-negative breast cancer, even in the setting of HER2-positive disease, her risk of recurrence may not be terribly high, and we have to be very careful about balancing the risks of therapy versus the potential benefits.